morning and welcome. Service continues on page 355 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And we say together the glory on the top of page 356. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, and have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, make us have perpetual love and reverence for your holy name. For you never fail to help and govern those whom you have set upon the sure foundation of your loving kindness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings. The first reading is from 1 Samuel, chapter 17. David said to Saul, let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, the Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine. So Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them. So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the wadi and put them in the shepherd's bag in the pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air, and to the wild animals of the field. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, and I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you in my hand. I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine drew nearer to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell down on the ground. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm for this morning is Psalm 9, found on the insert of your bulletin. The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed.
Our refuge in time of trouble.
Those who know your name will put their trust in you.
For you never forsake those who seek you, O Lord.
Sing praise to the Lord who dwells in Zion.
Proclaim to the peoples the things he has done.
The avenger of blood will remember them.
He will not forget his cry to be afflicted.
Have pity on me, O Lord.
See the misery I suffer from my most shaming. O you who lift me up from the gates of death.
So that I may tell of all your praises and rejoice in your salvation.
In the gates of the city of Zion.
The ungodly have fallen into the pit they dug.
And in the snare they set as a rope of a cloth.
The Lord is known by his acts of justice.
The wicked are trapped in the works of their own hands.
The wicked shall be given over to the grave.
And also all the evils that forget God.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten.
And the hope of the Lord shall not.
Rise up, O Lord, let not the ungodly have the upper hand.
Let them be judged before you.
Put fear upon them, O Lord.
Let the ungodly know they are Lord.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians. As we work together with Christ, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our minister. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is quite open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of the Lord.
And thanks be to God.
Weekends they would sponsor rides, and you had the book of maps, and you got to choose between a variety of 5 mile rides, 10 mile rides, 25, and then at the end of summer it was 50 and 100 mile rides. And so I showed up at the little shopping parking lot where we were supposed to meet for the 25 mile ride, and it was about 65 degrees that day. And a little overcast, which is perfect weather, summer weather, for taking a 25-mile bike ride. And there were five or six of us, people I didn't know, but we were all ready to go. And when we got about 5 miles into the ride, it started raining. But we were used to that, put on our weather gear, and continued to ride. And it was around 7-8 miles that the wind started picking up and the temperature started dropping, and we're like, well, we'll just push through it. And we got around mile 10, and that's when the wind really picked up, and the thunder and the lightning started, and the temperature really dropped, and the rain came down like crazy. And so we were discussing, so what do we do? Where do we find shelter? We know in the 10 miles that we've gone, that we haven't passed a gas station or met many houses at all. And none of us lived in the region, so we didn't know it very well, but we passed a farmhouse, and they had a barn that had the doors slid open. And so we knocked on the door of the house. And we went around and knocked on the back door. Nobody was home. And so we put our bikes in the barn, and we were standing in the barn door, hoping and waiting that this windstorm, thunderstorm, rain would stop and that the temperature would warm up, because we were soaked to the skin. And we felt, this is not good. Suddenly a man appeared at the door, and he said, "What are you doing here?" And we said, "Well, we knocked at the house, but nobody, and, you know, because of the rain and we're soaked and it's cold and it's windy and, you know, there's lightning." And he said, "Well, get the three of you, put your bikes in the back of the pickup truck, and I'll take three of you back to the shopping center, and then I'll come back and get the rest of you." So as we were riding back to the shopping center, about 10 miles away, we start pulling out our crumpled $1 bills and trying to offer it for gas and in Thanksgiving. And he's like, "No, put that away." We put our bikes on our cars and drove home. But I thought about the miracle that had happened, because we were very cold, very wet, it was very stormy, and we were 10 miles away from anything. And the stranger showed up and offered aid. And I'm wondering, what do you do when you face the stormy times in your life? We come to the story of David and Goliath today. And last week we were talking about David being anointed as the upcoming king. He wasn't at this point for today's story. He had been anointed, but he was nowhere near ready to take over leadership. And we hear that the Philistines were, well, pummeling the Israelites. They were winning because Goliath was a warrior from birth. And yet we have David, this little shepherd boy, and the two come together, and the people of Israel are starting to fear that they are going to lose the battle. They are going to lose their land. They are going to lose their freedom. And they are scared. And so they're talking, and Goliath walks forward and he says, "Pick one of your people to fight me. And if he wins, you win. If I lose, we lose." And the Israelites start talking amongst themselves, and like, there's nobody that can stand up to Goliath. And in the section right before this, it gives a description of Goliath. Depending on how you interpret the weights and measures, he was either 6'6" or 9 feet 6 inches. But compared to the average Israelite of that day, that was 5'6", and compared to David, whose description is small in stature, and then he had a bronze helmet that they think was probably equivalent to 30 pounds on his head, and his chain coat, 5,000 shekels, which 150 pounds of chain coat, lumbering towards, and the javelin, about 30 pounds. And David says, "Well, I can do it." And I love what David says, because he says, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will save me from this Philistine." David knew that, you know, like, he was really outnumbered and outsized and not a warrior. But he said, "The Lord is going to save me." And so he picked up the stones. And it says, when Goliath started approaching, David ran up to him, put the right in the forehead, Goliath goes down. When we're facing that type of opposition, do we put our trust in the Lord, knowing that we may not have the gifts and the skills, but the Lord does? The Lord will prevail. I think about the times that we live in right now. I'm thinking that people throughout the ages have lived in times of war and famine and disease and economic insecurity, and the list goes on and on. We're no different than they are, saying, "Uh-oh, what are we going to do? We don't want to lose everything. Who's going to save us? Who's going to help us?" And what I hear in 2 Corinthians today is Paul speaking to a group just like us. And when Paul speaks to them, he tells them about Jesus Christ. And he's saying, now we're not going to put obstacles in anybody's path. We're going to take it through the greatest endurance in afflictions, in hardships, in calamities, in beatings, in imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, and hunger, we will still prevail. And how do we prevail? What do we do? He said, it's these gifts of Christ by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, the power of God with the weapons of righteousness in your right hand and left hand. That's how you will prevail through all these calamities. And then it reminds me of the wedding vows, but it's in both honor and dishonor, we will prevail. In ill and good repute, we will prevail. Treat us as impostors, but yet are true. As unknown, yet are well known. As dying, and see, we are alive. As punished, and yet not killed. As sorrowful, and always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. And what I hear Paul saying to them is, you will prevail no matter what. No matter what comes your way, you will prevail. And that is what we believe in any hardship, in any infirmity. That's not the end of the story. Because we know the story ends in Jesus, in Christ. And that we have that assurance of we live in Christ and Christ lives in us. So nothing, nothing can prevail. So we come to today's gospel story, and of course it's a very familiar, beloved gospel story, as well as the David and Goliath story. And if you remember last week, we were talking about that God came up with a new plan. He's got a new blueprint. He's got a new recipe for creation. He is inviting us into helping to co-create with him the kingdom of God. We talked about sowing seeds, how the sower sowed seeds, and he knew not how, but they grew. We talked about the faith, the size of a mustard seed. You plant it, it grows into this big tree. And then today's gospel continues. When evening had come, Jesus says, let us go to the other side. He's talking about crossing the Sea of Galilee. He's talking about crossing into Gentile territory. These poor fishermen and other workmen had never crossed the sea. You don't go to the Gentile territory. You stay near the edge where you fish. And what we know about the sea equals chaos. The sea equals danger. Although many were fishermen, they didn't know how to swim. The sea is where Leviathan, that creature, lives, where evil resides. And they know that at any moment, tornado-like storms can come and capsize boats. And yet, even though they were new to following Jesus, they got in the boat with him. They trusted him enough at that point to say, okay, he says, go, we'll go. And immediately the storm comes up and the waves are swamping the boat. And the disciples are terrified. And they turn and there's Jesus asleep on the cushion and they wake him up, teacher, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? And Jesus says to the wind, peace, be still. And it was dead calm. And Jesus turns to the disciples and says, why are you afraid? You still have no faith? I love that. Why are you afraid? You still have no faith? And it says the disciples were in awe and said, who is this? Who is this man who can even calm the waves and the sea and the wind? And I think that's the question for us. Who is this man? If he's just a teacher, well, then I'm not going to put my life in his hands. If he's one of God's prophets, I'll listen, but I'm not sure I'll follow. But if he is the Messiah, the Son of God, my Lord and Savior, my God and my all, then I need to trust in that. I need to believe that. I need to have faith in that. I need to put my life right there. So who do you call on when you're facing the storms of life? Amen. I invite you into a minute of silent reflection. I invite you to stand as you're able and join with me in saying the Nicene Creed, found on page 358 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 358. We believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate of the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under the Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through your hearts. We believe in one holy Catholic Council of the Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We hope for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the People is Form 3, found on page 387 of the prayer book. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your words and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We pray especially for Jeff and Eliza, Danette, Seth, Bradley, Chris, Gail, Kimberly J., Don M., Jim L., Ray, Amanda and Billy, Bonnie, Carson, Ann, Laura, Ashlyn, Betty, Jerry, Cheryl, Jean, Brian, Cheryl, Douglas, Richard, Kathy, Lindsay, Tammy S., John, Muriel, Heather, Andy, Jim and Marietta, Colleen, Steve, the food pantry, students and teachers, first responders, those suffering from addiction, those in the military, and those who mourn.
For Jim, breath.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We continue with confession on page 360 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 360. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Please be seated. I have a couple of announcements. We'll start with Happy Father's Day to all the fathers or those who have a father or whatever iteration that comes as. We are looking for ushers. We give thanks, big thanks to Marilyn and Nancy for months of being the ushers. And now it's time for you to step up and be ushers. So if you are interested and willing, please email me or give me a call and I'll put you on the schedule for the rest of, well, June and July. We also are looking for a Sunday school teacher, and we give thanks to Gladys, who happens to be here today, for the years that she has taught our children and youth. Lots of gratitude for that. Thank you, Gladys. But now we need to find a new Sunday school teacher. It does not have to be a member of the congregation. It does not have to be an Episcopalian. It has to be somebody who is willing to study the curriculum and work with, as we know, a variety of children of a variety of ages. So if you can think of somebody or recruit somebody or twist somebody's arm, please let me know. And as some of you read your emails yesterday and some did not, I love this congregation. I love each and every one of you. And I've accepted a call as an associate rector to Walnut Creek, California. My last day will be August 15th, and the vestry will be meeting with diocesan staff on July 14th to start looking at what the next steps are. And as you can tell, it's probably as hard or harder for me than it is for you. I do love each and every one of you. Yet when God calls, what I said to the vestry briefly is, I was invited to apply to this position 2 years ago, and I said no thank you. And then I was invited to apply again, and I thought this might be the Spirit at work, but if it's not, then don't call me. And yet I was. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. The Lord be with you.
And also you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, and your words spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death.
We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection unto your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us be pleased. Alleluia.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. I invite you to come up down the center aisle and then return your seats down the side aisle and consume the host once you're in your seat. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. 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 Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.